This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. For the Catholic Church, the first week of Advent marks the beginning of a new year, or shall we say, a new liturgical calendar. The next few weeks of Advent are intended to help us prepare for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas. The student prepares for an exam. Football players train in preparation for a game. The farmer prepares the land before planting. Advent calls us to go the extra mile in our prayer and in our spiritual life.
First Sunday of Advent.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and Judah. In those days, in that time, I will raise up for David a just shoot. He shall do what is right and just in the land. In those days, Judah shall be safe, and Jerusalem shall dwell secure. This is what they shall call her, the Lord our justice. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have for you, so as to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his holy ones. Amen. Finally, brothers and sisters, we earnestly ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you should conduct yourselves to please God, and as you are conducting yourselves, you do so even more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent, and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now for this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
For us Christians, the church's calendar is so ordered that the season of Advent begins the church's year. We begin the third cycle of the church's year, the year C, with the admonition to prepare ourselves for the establishment of peace and justice in the world. This comes with the birth of Christ. How are we preparing for his advent? The world looks forward to seeing love shared and peace promoted in every corner of the human society. Every Christian is an agent of peace, and the peace given by Christ is what we promote. In the continent of Africa, let every Christian be reminded of this, that war, injustice, and violence have no place in Christ. As a way of preparing the whole of African continent for the advent of Christ, let the streets of Africa be free of violence, be cleansed of injustices, and the embers of war be quenched for the establishment of peace, justice, and love. Every Christian in Africa, no matter the position in the society, but most especially Christian leaders, have an opportunity to contribute to the establishment of the kingdom of peace, justice, and love, which God has promised in Christ. Let us not only pray for it, but remember we have to work for it. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Robin Peary, Father Hilary Munyaneza, and Father Enobong Odioijom contributed to the program. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for a daily bulletin of church news and later the world around us.
Omwami twakulumbaleza wagatulenga munyiga mwami wagatupa haluyandoleza kowira tulalumba omwami wa jundu
wakulumba tata tulalumba yonse kowira leza
kowira tulalumba omwami wa jundu
wakulumba tata tulalumba yonse kowira leza
I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis has sent a video message to the people of Cyprus and Greece as he prepares to visit the two nations from the 2nd to the 6th of December. Thaddeus Jones reports.
In his video message, Pope Francis expressed his joy over the upcoming visit to Cyprus and Greece, which begins 5 days from now. His visit, as he said, in the name of the gospel, will follow in the footsteps of the first great missionaries, especially the apostles Paul and Barnabas, he said, noting the importance of going to the origins of the church in order to rediscover the joy of the gospel.
Che chiedo a tutti di aiutarmi a preparare con la preghiera.
The Pope asks for prayers from all as he prepares for this pilgrimage to the wellsprings. His meetings with people will help quench his thirst at the wellsprings of fraternity, he said, which are very important as the Church has embarked upon its universal synodal journey. The synodal grace will include fraternal visits with their Beatitudes Chrysostomos and Hieronymos, heads of the local Orthodox churches, he noted, and he expressed his gratitude as a brother in the faith for the grace to be received by them and to meet them in the name of the Lord of Peace. He addressed to the small flocks of Catholics in those lands, saying he's looking forward to sharing his affection with them and bringing them the encouragement of the whole Catholic Church. The Pope went on to say that this visit will allow him to drink from the ancient wellsprings of Europe, with Cyprus as the continent's outpost of the Holy Land, and Greece the home of classical culture. At the same time, his thoughts turned to those fleeing from war and poverty, landing on the shores of these lands, and the hostility or exploitation they've endured in their migrations. He emphasized that they are our brothers and sisters, noting that so many have lost their lives at sea that the Mediterranean has become a great cemetery. The Pope recalled he will visit the island of Lesbos once again, convinced that the sources of common life will only flourish again in fraternity and integration together. This is the only way forward, he stressed. In conclusion, he said he looks forward to meeting everyone during his visits, and he asked for the blessing of the Most High on all, as he offers prayers for the expectations, worries, and hopes of all there. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Pope Francis on Saturday received an audience His Excellency Edi Rama, Prime Minister of the Republic of Albania, accompanied by his wife and entourage. Earlier, the Pope received an audience the Apostolic Nuncio in Zimbabwe, Archbishop Paolo Rudelli. Also on Saturday, Pope Francis appointed Bishop Paul Lontsie Kuyune as Bishop of the Diocese of Bafoussam in Cameroon. Bishop Lontsie Kuyune has been serving as Bishop of Yonkadoma, also in Cameroon. The Diocese of Bafoussam became vacant on the 19th of March this year after Pope Francis accepted the resignation of Bishop Diodone Watio after reaching the age limit of 75 as set by the Code of Canon Law. In Nigeria, the Church and Society Department of the country's Catholic Secretariat has just concluded its annual general meeting in Abuja with a focus on national security. Delphine Asu reports.
Addressing pressmen, Most Reverend Matthew Ndagoso, the Episcopal Chairman, Church and Society, reminded the federal government of their primary responsibility while analyzing the various aspects of national security, which is gravely lacking in Nigeria.
It is evident that Nigeria today is struggling with all the above areas that make up national security. There is a general tendency in Nigeria and perhaps in most developing countries to equate military security with national security, whereas national security is all-embracing of the seven segments listed above. None of them can stand alone, as they are indeed interconnected. Presently, food inflation stands at nearly 20%. Traveling in Nigeria is fraught with danger and uncertainty. The situation cannot change for the better unless the political class, men and women, saddled with leadership of this country, convince themselves of the basic dignity of all citizens as human beings created in the image and likeness of God, and resolve to work for the common good of all, irrespective of religion, ethnicity, or region. Nigeria has already been ranked the poverty capital of the world. Nigeria is seen as one of the most unsafe places to bring up a child. Sorry for children being born in Nigeria today. This is reflected in the number of Nigerian youths who troop to embassies for migration purposes. Our leaders cannot continue with their business as usual attitude towards governance. The church has been a major victim of the insecurity in the Northwest and the Northeast. Now, in Kaduna, most of my rural pastors, no priest sleeps in the house. There has never been a more critical time than now for all stakeholders, including the church, to come together and help to salvage our nation. As a church, we have spoken, we have embarked on demonstrations, we have engaged with political leaders to no avail.
He further stated that there is need to declare a state of emergency in the area of security in the nation.
We need to declare a state of emergency in security. What it means that you channel resources, you channel your energy, whatever you have, towards this. Because without security, everything we are doing is useless.
On delayed response and reactions to national issues, Reverend Father Uchechukwu Obodochina, the director of Church and Society, charged the lay faithful to do their due diligence and to assist the church with information where necessary.
Let the lay people not just sit back. What are the priests doing? What are the secretaries doing? What are the bishop's members doing? What are... This job is divided. We have a co-responsibility to this Nigerian nation. The fact that we don't also have the facts. Because before you start Baptist, we must have the facts. But there are fact checkers, not only from God, the reality on the ground. If you are saying, yes, there is hunger in the land, how do you justify it if you are taking it seriously? Have you done any analysis? What are the basis of the statement? You will be taken to that. We have to equip the bishops also with the information we have. They don't have it all. No bishop knows it all. They depend also on us to be prophetic and effective.
In Abuja, Delphine Asu reporting.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The people of Algeria went to the polls on Saturday to elect mayors and regional leaders, the first test for President Abdelmadjid Tebboune, who won an election after his predecessor was ousted in 2019 by pro-democracy protests. Some 23 million registered voters are being asked to choose among the more than 134,000 candidates running for the various seats. A total of 61 people who arrived in the Netherlands on two flights from South Africa on Friday have tested positive for the coronavirus, Dutch officials said. Further tests are now underway on the travelers who arrived at Schiphol Airport to establish if any of them have the new Omicron variant of COVID-19 that was first discovered in South Africa on the 24th of November. Countries around the world are racing to introduce travel bans and restrictions on Southern African countries in an effort to contain the new variant. Omicron has also been identified in Botswana, Belgium, Hong Kong and Israel. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Hello and welcome to the world around us. News about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. The Catholic Church in Ghana this week launched its 5-year Laudato Si action program inspired by Pope Francis' teaching in his 2015 encyclical letter on the care for our common home. The program, scheduled to run from 2022 to 2026, will involve both church institutions and state-run organizations in common efforts geared towards the protection of our common home. In an interview with Father Benedict Mayaki, the head of Caritas Ghana, Samuel Akologo, explained the importance of collaborative efforts to ensure the success of the program, which was launched on Wednesday.
The Bishops' Conference Laudato Si Action Program is for the entire church, of which Caritas Ghana is a constitutive part. Therefore, Caritas Ghana has a responsibility to contribute towards the implementation of the Bishops' Conference Laudato Si Action Program.
At the end of the Laudato Si special anniversary year in May, Pope Francis announced the 7-year Laudato Si Action Platform, urging Christians to continue the work of caring for our common home. How does this 5-year plan fit into this Laudato Si Action Platform?
The Ghana Catholic Bishops' Conference Laudato Si Action Program is inspired in the first place by Pope Francis' encyclical Laudato Si, but it is also informed by the Laudato Si Action Platform, both in terms of the 7 goals that it defines. The only slight change is that we decided to do the first 5 years so that we will be able to build some learnings that from implementation for the remaining 2 years. So this is 5 years running in parallel or in tandem with the Laudato Si Action Platform hosted by the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development. So it's very much inspired by it. It's along the same line.
Ghana, like many other countries, has its own societal issues and structural challenges. And through the work of Caritas, you are very familiar with these issues. What structural difficulties do you think will be the most challenging to overcome as the Laudato Si Action Program kicks off?
First of all, there will be internal structural difficulties. Perhaps, as you know, the idea of the church adopting an integrated approach and working as one unit, well coordinated, and it's really interesting, was articulated in Africae Monos of Emeritus Pope Benedict when he urged the bishops of Africa to harness the full energies of the church to influence political order and to bring societal change that is needed in different areas. And he called that moving from theology to pastoral care. That is what we're trying to do. But it has not been easy. Sometimes the church is a big entity, so you have different units, religious congregations, lay society groups, but also other structures. And we do not have the culture of a coordinated effort. My expectation and inspiration is that this process that the Bishops' Conference have begun through the Laudato Si Action Program will be an impetus to revisit that integrated, coordinated approach to working together. It will not come easy because we do not have that structure. Indeed, the Laudato Si Action Platform, Goal 7 itself, talks about community engagement and participatory approaches. This is very interesting, and I'm not surprised that the Synod also emphasizes participation. This is one challenge that we need to overcome, because sometimes we're used to working within our own selves as church. But this, the Laudato Si Action Platform, Goal 7, is encouraging us to go out there, perhaps in the spirit of Fratelli Tutti, to engage other constituent bodies of society, be they separate faith-based groups or other religious bodies, etc. So we need to work at this. I think the third structural challenge would be how to cooperate and work effectively with government agencies. We need to find ways to get around this.
Is there any other thing you'd like to add to this conversation about the Laudato Si Action Plan and the work of Caritas in Ghana?
I just want to emphasize that for Caritas Ghana, we have already begun a process of translating the Ghana Catholic Bishops' Conference Laudato Si Action Program into an operational framework. What that means is we are going to take a look at all the 7 goals and the areas of work that have been assigned to Caritas Ghana and to see how we can realign our ongoing work to the 7 goals of the Laudato Si Action Program, but also to explore how we can address new challenges of society. And we've started to work on that. After the launch, we will try to finalize this for 2022. So we are very much going to be aligning our work to the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference Laudato Si Action Plan. In fact, for me, it is a kind of strategic plan or pastoral plan now for the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference. Because for a long time, we never had anything like that, that you can say, this is the framework that guides the different segments of the church in Ghana to work towards a common purpose. I think this is a practical tool through the Laudato Si Action Program. And exactly what Caritas Ghana will try to do, align our ongoing work, explore new areas to address both social and environmental challenges, etc., etc. So we're going to do that.
That was the National Director of Caritas Ghana, Samuel Akologo, speaking there to Father Benedict Mayaki. And that's all for this edition. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our future family. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praise be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
Onyamami, no mi ebi ema pune ema tutu ono.